thank the Lord this morning for everyone that's here. I ask that you would pray for us this morning. As I was in my devotions through the week, I was reading in Psalms 37. We're going to spend a little time in Psalms 37 this morning. And we want to talk about, we're going to start at the 18th verse. And the 18th verse says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." We want to talk about the days of the upright. We want to talk about what God does for our days, how he has a plan. He knoweth the days of the upright. He has a plan for us. He knows what we're going to face. He sees the future. He knows everything we're going through. And he knows those days. He knows how to help us. He knows how to bless us. He knows how to bring us through. He's that kind of a God. He knows the days of the upright. He knows what you experienced yesterday. He knows what you're going to experience tomorrow. He knows what this year is going to bring. He knows who is going to step off into eternity this year. And he knows who the Lord is going to raise up from something that looked like they were going out into eternity. God knows. He knows the days of the upright.
The Lord.
In the 19th verse, it says, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." Not be ashamed in the evil time. Oh, you know, there's a lot of things come our way. There's a lot of different persecutions and trials and tests and things that come to us that trouble us and perplex us and try to bring upon us sorrow or grief or doubt or all manner of feelings within our bosom. But he said, you won't be ashamed. They won't be ashamed in those kind of places. In other words, this ashamed isn't the kind of ashamed where it's guilt. This is, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be stymied. I'm not going to be stopped in these kind of places, in these evil times. Why? Because the Lord's walking with me through my days. He knows my days. He knows everything about me. He knows my shortcomings. He knows the things that I need the most help with. He's right there. He knows all about our days. There's not a day that surprises him. There's not a thing that comes your way that is a surprise to him. He is never in a place to where all of a sudden something happens and he said, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." That's what we do. There are many things that happen to us and many things we go through and we don't know the end of it. And we are surprised many times. Many times. We're surprised at how bad things can get sometimes. I've been praying and praying and the Lord hasn't answered yet. And I'm surprised by that it's taking longer and that all the, I'm surprised. But God is not surprised.
Right.
He knows exactly how much we're able to take and what we're able to do and how we're able to go through. He knows everything. He's not surprised. We can be surprised. The Lord answered so quick. We can be surprised. He's not surprised. He knows exactly what he's doing for us each and every day. He knows how to inspire us and how to lead us and guide us. He knows all these things. The days of the upright is something that God knows all about. He walks with us through these days, all these days that we have before us. If we drop on down to the 23rd verse, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
In other words, he has a plan. So no matter what comes up in your pathway, he knows how to guide you through, to help you to step over, help you to go around. Whatever is troubling, whatever comes your way, he knows how to help you to go straight through it. He knows how to do this. That your steps are ordered of the Lord. He has something in mind that he wants to accomplish with your life. We sometimes forget that we're created and that our Creator deserves our life. because he created us, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think our life is our own, and we just have to make the best of it. Yeah. And as long as we're talking to the Lord and praying with the Lord, and as long, you know, we just make the best of it, we do our best. No, it's actually, steps are ordered by the Lord. But do you know, the Lord can order your steps, but he can't make you go there. In other words, he can't make you do it. He has a plan laid out. He has something he wants to you to walk down this road. And he wants you to turn here. He is going to make you turn. He's going to lead you that way. He's going to impress you that way. He's going to show you some things that might not be good down the other way. And he's going to try to reason with our intellect and with our minds. He's going to try to get us, because our steps are ordered by him. If we listen to him and let him take us step by step, then we will be where we need to be at all times. It's only when we take steps our own way. It's only when we disregard where his steps lead and we start taking our own steps is where we get into trouble. When we face things that we don't have grace for, when we face things that are too hard for us, because God never intended us to go that way. He never intended us to face that. He never intended us to be in the middle of that. You know what I'm talking about. You know, when you get yourself embroiled in something you wished you hadn't, that you wished I'd just been quiet. But now I'm in the middle of it. Now, then what do you start doing? You start praying, Lord, help me to escape. Help me to get out of here. You said in every trial there was a way to escape. And the Lord is shaking his head and he's saying, yeah, there was a way to escape, but you didn't take it. It was to be quiet, but you didn't take it. Now, you have to go a different way. You're going to suffer more things. You're going to be involved in things that you didn't know was going there. Many times we think the simplest things. Well, I just say this little thing. That's just the truth. It's just the truth. But we don't know what's all behind there that the devil is going to stir up and do. And then we're embroiled in something. Those weren't steps ordered by the Lord. He wants to order our steps. And it says, and he delighteth in his way. I was thinking that this can be taken two ways. God delights in us when we take his steps. He delighteth when we go the way he's showing us and leading us and guiding us and opening up for us. When we walk in that way, he's delighted in us. But there is also the other way, that the man of God himself can be delighted in God's way. How do we get there? How do we get to where we are delighted in his way? Because we live for him long enough to realize his way is best. Yes. We have a song, his way is best. Yes. Why? We've learned it. Right. We didn't know it in the beginning. We thought we took pretty good care of ourselves, and we thought we knew quite a bit, and we thought we knew how to direct and order our life. We thought we knew what we needed to change, and we thought we knew what we needed to hang on to, and we thought we had it all figured out. And what has the Lord turned your life upside down like he did mine, to where he had me get rid of some things that I thought were good, and there were some things that I just knew they were bad, and I went to working on those, and the Lord said, only this part's bad about that, this part's all right. You know, look at this right here. You know, the Lord turns your understanding in your mind upside down, because we don't know what we truly need in this life. We don't know. So the steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord, in the 24th verse, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall. Now, what is a fall? Oh, there are all kinds of ways that we stand before God and we do things and get involved in things and all, and we make mistakes. We realize, oh, that wasn't a wise thing to do. And you sometimes wonder, Lord, I need more wisdom. I need more wisdom. Listen, if the Lord didn't let you fall into your own wisdom, if he didn't let you do that, you'd never know you needed it. You never know you needed to lay yours aside and accept his. So he allows us. Our steps are ordered. He allows us to go into these places and to make mistakes and have faults and failings along the way. Why? Because he wants us to realize the way you handle things is not what I would do. This is not how I would do it. But until we fall off in there and see it and feel it and understand it better, we aren't willing to change it. So, anyway, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Have you noticed that when you disappoint the Lord, that you're not utterly cast down? Oh, sometimes we feel some shame, and sometimes we wonder all manner of things, and the devil's talking to you at the same time. Oh, you're not worth it, and what's, you know, you're this, and you're that, and he starts telling you all the things you are. And the truth of the matter is, many of the things he's telling you are things that you know about yourself. Yes, I am kind of like that. But why are you like that? Because the devil took you there. Because you allowed him to. So yes, he knows all about it. Because he's the one that was involved with it in the first place. So, but it says, though he fall, this good man, these days of this upright man, no matter how many days they are on this earth, that if he falls, he won't be cast down. And God isn't going to look at him and say, oh, you didn't listen. You didn't hear. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. God knows that we are but dust. And that we have a hard time grasping a hold of the spiritual concepts that we need to walk in this life like we should. He understands us completely. He knows our steps. He knows our days. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In other words, the Lord just holds us up. That's the reason we don't fall into despair. It's not because we look at ourselves. Although there are some people that do. They make a mistake and they say, oh, well, you know, I'll do better next time. There's another day coming. You know, there's a lot of people that's the way they go through life. And so they never learn anything and they just keep falling down. But we learn something. See, a good man learns something when he falls, when he gets into something, when he gets involved in something. He learns something. That's why the Lord upholds him. Not only that, but the reason that he learns something is because the Lord is holding him. The Lord's holding him in his hand. And when the thing happens, it's the fact that the Lord is upholding him and helping him and blessing him and curbing everything that the enemy is trying to do to destroy him. That's the reason he comes through. Mm. It's because the Lord is upholding him, not because we're smart enough to get out.
Yes.
It's him. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Everything about your day, everything you're going through. In the 25th verse, it says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This was a testimony of someone. I believe this was written by David. And it says, I was young, and now I'm old. And there's something I've noticed, though. The righteous are never forsaken. God always comes in. He always answers. He always brings forth. He never just walks away and leaves them to their own devices. If their own devices are wrong and shouldn't be operating, he will stop them. He will put something there, something to block them, something to help them to understand. This is the wrong way to be thinking here. This is the wrong way to be acting here. So, it says, all these days, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God, he said, in all these days, I've never seen God throw up his hands and say, I give up on a righteous man.
Thank the Lord.
See, on a righteous man. A man that is striving to do everything he knows to do, but yet he has faults and failings and weak places. God never just throws up his hands and says, I don't know what to do with him anymore. Do you know that there are parents that do that with children? The children can be so unruly and so out that parents can throw up their hands and say, I don't know what to do anymore. They love them. They want to care for them, but they have no way to help them. They have no way to change them. But God isn't like that. See, he knows the days of the upright. He knows how to put things and work with things and do things that will cause the upright to understand the errors of his ways. We sometimes, as parents, we don't know how to teach our children the errors of their ways. We don't know how to help them to see it. But God isn't like that. So he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, even those that are attached to the righteous man get many blessings. They get blessings. The ones that are attached to the righteous man receive blessings. Can't we say that about all of our families?
Yes.
Haven't you seen it happen over and over and over? How the goodness of God comes into our families and works and deals and blesses. Why do you think that is? Why is it the righteous man that gets that kind of blessing in his family? Because he's praying to an almighty God for his family. They're the ones out in the world, they don't know how to do that. They try this theory and that theory, and they buy this book and that book, and they take them to psychiatrists, and they take them to counselors, and all these things. They try everything they know about, but those things don't work to change the inner man. They need an inner man. They need the inner man changed. But we pray to an almighty God that can actually manipulate circumstances surrounding our family so that they can come to some realizations that I shouldn't be doing this, that I need to make a change, and I need to do something different. We have power through God. That's why he's never seen this steps of a good man. That's why he's never seen him in a bad place. That's why he's never seen him, his seed, not being blessed. It's because he is a good man. Because he's a righteous man. Because he's striving and endeavoring to live for God. God knows the hearts of people. He knows those that are truly wanting to live for him. Those that are truly concerned about how they live for him. Truly concerned about if everything in my life pleases God. Truly concerned about it. And he knows those that really don't care. That they have a form of godliness. And they talk about it. And they say wonderful things, and they have many good things to say, but they have a lot of upheaval in their life. And a lot of these promises don't include them because they're not really the good man. They're not really the righteous man that God wants to uphold. They are someone that is taking their own way and calling upon God at the same time. So it says in the 26th verse, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. All right, you could take this. You could take this two different ways here. And I believe it's true either way you take it. He is ever merciful. In other words, the good man is ever merciful and lendeth. In other words, has compassion on people. And his seed is blessed. You know how it says in the word, you can't outgive, or it says in through the scriptures, it implies it. And the saying is, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. That the more you give him, we had testimonies this morning in Sunday school about how the more that people gave when the Lord called upon them and they gave money, how that the Lord gave them back two or threefold of what they had given. They thought they were giving it out of their little, and they didn't know if they could maybe make their bills or be able to do this. They didn't know how it was going to happen, but they knew God had told them. And then the Lord immediately comes back right on the spot and gives them more than what they gave. This is because we have an open heart. And we're supposed to have an open pocketbook. We're supposed to. But he lendeth. You know, in the one scripture, it says to let your neighbor borrow and don't ask for it again. Yes. You know, that's hard to do, isn't it? You want your stuff back, don't you? They said they just wanted to borrow it. They didn't ask if they could have it. We found, everybody probably in this life has found themselves in one of those kind of places. And no doubt, There's been times where you went and asked for it back and you did this and everything, and I'm not going to say that it's wrong to go and remind somebody, you know, you still have my saw or you still have my whatever. Oh, and most of the time they're going to say, oh, I completely forgot. That's okay. It's not saying that we can't. What it's saying is that if it's not returned, and maybe you even asked, maybe they even said those things, if it's not returned, we're not to get in an upheaval over it. We're not to get in a bad place over it. Why? Because God takes care of us. He takes care of us. If you believe that God takes care of you, then you don't have to worry about somebody taking some of your stuff. Because God will replenish what you need. He'll help you with that. So, and then it says, and his seed is blessed. In other words, our family is blessed. Because if you can't outgive God, then if I give money away and my family is looking at me cross-eyed saying, we need that money for food this week. And then the Lord pours in the rich blessing where you have more than an abundance. Even his children, even his seed are blessed because of that. But then you can go the other way. It can be that God is ever merciful. He is ever merciful. And yes, he is. Not only that, he lendeth. Do you know he lendeth you life? He lends you breath. He lends you the things that you have. It's why when Job could say, he giveth and he taketh away. Because he didn't consider it his own, mine, all wrapped, my hands are wrapped around it. Nobody can have this. Because at any time it can be taken. There's been so many incidents of that in these last years with all kinds of weather conditions and forest fires and everything where people have lost all that they had. The Lord giveth and he taketh away. And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why is he blessed? Because he knows what we need. He knows how we need to go through things. He knows how we need as human beings. He knows how we need to suffer loss. See, we need to suffer loss. He doesn't just take us from victory to victory to victory and never suffer persecution, never suffer loss, never suffer disease, never suffer pain. No, that isn't it. He takes us from victory to victory through all of that. That's what's so victorious about it, is the fact that we get the victory in the midst of it. It's easy to have victory if you have nothing going on. See, if you don't have to gain victory over anything, the Lord just supplies everything, abundance over and over and over, and you're never challenged in anything. How would you ever come to the understanding of what it is like? What it is like to watch your creation stumble around and do the things they do, and yet you still have, the Lord still loves us, cares for us. He rains on us, even when we're unjust. He rains on us. He still gives things to people that are out there in sin, not obeying him. He still gives them good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. All those things. Now, there are many things they claim to be good and perfect, but they're not. They claim money is good and perfect, but it's not. You know, they claim the love of a certain person is good and perfect, but it may not be. By the time you get to the end of that thing, it may not be. So it says here, and his seed is blessed. In other words, God is ever merciful. He lends us, and we, his seed, are blessed. It is a wonderful thing that the days that God knows about the days of the upright. He knows everything about us, everything we need. In the 27th verse, it says, depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. You know, there are many people out there that do not believe they have to depart from evil or do good to others. But they're trying their best to live forever. They have all kinds of programs, all kinds of of things that they do, all kinds of ways to eat, all kinds of things to take, all kinds of all manner of things. They're trying their best. But the Lord says, no, 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 that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to get what you're after. You're seeking something. See, you're seeking that eternal life. You're seeking what your soul is missing. And they think that they can supply it all. That they can have the wisdom and the knowledge and supply what they're missing. But they can't. Because our souls, our inner man craves eternal life with the Savior. It craves the connection back to God. 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You've seen that, haven't you? The seed of the wicked being cut off. It is a sad thing to look at out in the world. And every week you hear of lives being cut short. My first thought is always, I wonder if they were ready to meet the Lord. Were they ready to meet him? It's a wonderful thing when people are ready, but we don't know people, we don't know who they are, and we don't know for sure what it is. You hear about a horrible accident or even a shooting and different things, and you go, I wonder if they were ready to meet the Lord. I wonder what the Lord said to him. The last time he spoke to him, what did he tell him? What did he say to him before these things happened? What did they ignore? What did they cross over? What did they do that caused them to be in the line of fire and be in this terrible place now? What did they do? They just walked over what God was ordering. He tries to order all of our days. He tries to do that. He tries to help even the sinner. Even he will send warnings to the sinner. He will send warnings, you know, don't delay and don't wait too long. And you need to think about your soul. And he said, and he allows them to experience close calls. Yes. Where things happen. And it makes them think about their soul for a few minutes. But then they just kind of gradually smooth it over and they forget so soon. But that's the Lord. That's the Lord. But it says, for the Lord loveth judgment. In other words, he loveth righteous judgment. Just not any kind of judgment. Because there's a lot of people using a lot of different kinds of judgment out there. But he loves righteous judgment. He loves to see it when men look upon other men and have righteous judgment. Righteous judgment about a situation. You know, we can hear of some pretty bad things that can happen to people here and there. We need to be careful that we just don't think because a horrible thing happened to them that they weren't quite right with the Lord. We need to be real careful of that. I know one of our ministers quite a long time ago when I was young, how he had a habit of picking up hitchhikers and trying to be a blessing to them, trying to talk to them about the Lord and everything. And they found him one time in his car and he had been killed by, they assume, somebody he picked up. And you need to be careful not to be thinking that, well, that wasn't using wisdom and he shouldn't have been doing that. Or, you know what I'm saying? We need to be careful about how we look at those things because God's righteous judgment is different.
Yes.
For all we know, the person that took his life may be saved today. Mm-hmm. For all we know. Mm-hmm. We don't know how God was going to use this incident and how he was going to do it. And obviously, you know, if the person is right and he gets taken out of this life, it's a promotion.
Yes.
It's not something to be looked at as something horrible happened. Yes. No, he got to go to heaven. He got free from this world. In whatever way the Lord sees fit to use us to, in a situation, in a setting, in a family, however he chooses to use us, at our last day, it's because he's working with souls. He's working with souls. And it says, He loveth judgment. He forsaketh not his sins. They are preserved forever. Do you know we are preserved forever? Not just here in this life, but forever. We're going to be preserved forever. There isn't going to be anything that can touch us and knock us out of this race on this side, and certainly nothing on the other side. We're going to be preserved forever. This is how God has, he's ordered our steps. He knows the days that we live. He knows the amount of days we're going to live. He knows the day we're going to die. He knows what he has planned for us. He knows how he's going to use us. He knows all these things. And we need to seek him more with our whole heart to find out his will in our life. That we don't get off on the wrong path and then don't have his protection and don't have his blessings. And have to find our way back. He'll help us do that. He promised he would. But it's a dangerous place to go. Things can happen there. It says in 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. It's when they say that blessed are the which one is it? Peace or merciful, and they shall inherit the earth in the Beatitudes. Because it doesn't mean this earth here. It means our heavenly home. The final earth, the final place that we rest. But we also have history here. We also have it here. It starts here and it goes all the way on, right over as we cross over into eternity. It goes with us. We are preserved all along the way. It says in 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Oh, dear ones, we need to speak wisdom. Not earthly wisdom. Do you know there is an earthly wisdom, a philosophy, a ways that people out in the world handle things and all, but it's not godly. And we have a lot of thoughts left over from back there, out there in our days out there when we handled things ourselves. We've carried over with us a lot of things in our minds that make us think that, well, if this happens, then this should happen. And we should do it this way. And, you know, you've heard them. Things like, you know, you can't let people walk over you. You know, you can't let people use you all the time. You've got to learn to say no. Earthly wisdom. God can temper us to show us all those things. But it will be done in wisdom, not just some saying or something that people have thought up to protect themselves. Because see, all of those things that the world has is always self-protecting. I'm going to come out the best. But the steps that God orders of us, the wisdom he wants to speak, is not always going to put us on top. Probably going to put us on the bottom. We're probably going to be sneered at and laughed at or whatever. We may speak wisdom, but it won't be the wisdom of the world, and people are just going to laugh at it. That's what they're going to do. And then it says, and his tongue talketh of judgment. You know how it is when everybody's deciding, well, if I was so-and-so, I'd do it this way. And if I was so-and-so, I'd do it this way. And, you know, they better do it this way and everything. Listen, a tongue talketh judgment. You want to be sure that you don't enter into there, into those kind of conversations and say, well, I think it should be this way. You better say what the Lord says. You know, sometimes we can get in trouble for saying what we say. But if we always put it on the Lord says, love your enemies. In other words, they're talking about, well, you should do it this way. Oh, that's happening. You should do this to them, and you should do that to them, and you should this, that, and the other. And you say, the Lord says you should love your enemies. See, that's a tongue that talketh of judgment, that talketh of the right things, the right way to look at things. 31, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. In other words, I'm not going to get caught up and go slipping and sliding down this slope that you all are on. that are going to get you in big trouble if you keep thinking that way and keep trying to take things into your own hands. We have a lot of things like that going on in our land today. People trying to take things into their own hands. We don't want to go down those places. God is more powerful than anything we can do, anything we think we can put our hands on. God is more powerful. 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Oh, yeah. But you know the Lord sees that. He knows every day that the wicked one is going to come around you. He's going to come around you and talk to you. He's going to say something to you. He's actually going to try to woo you and try to sweet talk you, so to speak, and try to help you, try to make you think that you're right in a situation when you're really not. And he's going to do all these things. The Lord knows all of this. And he knows that the wicked one is seeking to slay him. But what does it say in 33? The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Well, he's not going to leave you there. Oh, the Lord may, the devil may be able to talk to you for a little bit because you're a little confused and a little, you're in an upheaval and you're emotional and things are happening and he may be able to reason with you and talk with you, but the Lord's not going to leave you there. He's going to get you out because we are no match for the enemy of our souls. We need God to get us out of those places. We need him to do that. And you know what? God doesn't condemn us. It says, nor condemn him when he is judged. In other words, when people talk about us and they say all manner of things about us, and even if we brought a little bit of it on ourselves, he doesn't condemn us. He knows who we are. He understands our little propensity to say something. He's going to work with us on that, but he doesn't just judge us and say, well, I'm cutting them off. They didn't say something right. They didn't think something right. They're letting the devil talk to them all day. I'm going to cut them off. That is not what God does. It says, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait on the Lord. Hardest thing to do is wait on the Lord. Oh, you know, it's easier to wait on each other. And we know how short our patience is with that, right? You're in a hurry, and you're dressed and ready and in the car, and the other person still hasn't come out the door. You know you're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time. And the traffic and every stoplight and everything seems to be going against you. You know what that feels like? Waiting on the Lord feels like that. The little impatient times. I'm waiting on the Lord. I've been asking him for a while now to help me with this certain thing. I can see I'm getting better, but I want it to be over. I want it to end. That's what we're after. We're after the end. And the Lord is after everything that we go through and learn along the way towards the end. That's what he's after. He isn't after the end. The end is where you stand up and you praise God, and it's so wonderful. But you know what we say? Many times we praise God. It's so wonderful. You know, oh, he brought me up and out. It's so glorious, and I can do this now, and I can do that now. But we don't say, oh, it was so glorious in there. I learned this, and I learned that. And the Lord, he took me through this really dark place, and it was so scary. But I learned this. We don't do that. We're happy to be out. We need to testify about the glory of God while we were in and what he did for us in the midst of it. That's the important thing, because he's ordering the steps even through those dark places. He's ordering those steps. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, the perfect man is Jesus Christ. So if we always look at him and we always say, Lord, what would you do? What would Jesus do in this situation? We can learn a whole lot better how we should be and how we should react. But do you know that there are others that are marking a perfect man and they're looking at us?
Yeah.
How careful do we have to be?
Oh, Lord.
How careful do we have to be
yes.
when others are judging God by looking at us?
Yes.
They don't have a personal relationship with Him. They do not understand all of His ways, but they're watching you. And what do people say?
Yeah.
You know, they really trust God. They really believe in God. That is a godly person. They're marking you, dear ones. They're marking you. They're looking to follow it the way you're doing it. We better be sure we're doing it the right way. We better be sure that we're not leading them into things that aren't good for their soul. We better be sure that our life is all clean and holy before God so that we're not leading them down some paths that in the end is not good for them. We need to be really, really careful. 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad He's your strength in the time
Amen.
Of trouble? Do you ever run out of your own strength? I think we run out every day.
Yeah.
I don't think we notice it every day. I don't think we notice it every day. But we run out of our own strength every day.
That's so true.
If you don't seek the Lord for that day,
yeah.
you're going to run out.
Amen.
But if we seek the Lord like we should, if we spend time with Him and we seek Him, we won't run out. He'll be right there with us. We'll be renewed and refreshed in our minds and in our souls. And we'll be renewed and freshed with His righteous ways. And that His ways are past finding out. And we'll be renewed and refreshed at what He says about evil and how it works and what it does. And we'll want to be shunning everything like that. And we'll be better to recognize between the two.
Yes.
If we spend time with Him. He knows. He knows our days. He knows them all together. 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. They trust in Him. Aren't you glad you trust in the Lord?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that He helps us and delivers us from the wicked? Aren't you glad that He... It's by His mercies we're not consumed.
Amen.
It's by His mercies that the devil doesn't kill us every day. He is out to destroy man every day. It is by God's mercies that we're not consumed. He wants us to understand that I have a plan for your day today. I had a plan from the time you got up till the time you go to sleep tonight. I have a plan. I have things that I want to teach you. I have things that I want you to avoid. There are some conversations to stay out of.
Yes.
There are some things to not do. There are some places maybe that I feel like, well, I think I should go do this or go do that. And the Lord would say, not today.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Doesn't matter why.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, do you know that we as parents, there were times when there wasn't a good reason to say no to your child?
Yeah.
You just knew that they had gotten too many yeses lately. And you knew they needed a no, right?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I knew they needed a no. Because they you know what I'm saying? They needed to deal with a little disappointment, and they needed to deal
yes.
with, no, you don't need to be busy every day. You need to take some time. Slow down. You know, think a little bit. You know, be involved in the things that are really important, like making sure your homework projects are done and making sure this is done and making sure that is done and your room is a mess. And, you know, and you just know, no, they don't need to go to a friend's house right now.
That's right.
But there's no evil necessarily they're going to get into. There's no evil reason the devil's lurking on the sidewalk to kill them on their way by. That isn't it. It's just that, you know, they need to, you need to say no. They need, why? Because children need to have disappointment.
That's right.
How do you learn to handle disappointment if you never have any? Do you know that we have a whole generation of people that don't know how to handle disappointment?
That's so.
That weren't taught to handle disappointment, didn't get told no enough, didn't get restricted enough, didn't get watched over enough.
That's
And we have a whole generation that is out there doing their own thing. And they don't know how to control themselves or anything around them. And they're so easily thrown into an upheaval. The first little thing that comes along there, it's all drama, everything, all drama. Because they can't handle anything anymore. Our steps, dear ones, the days of the upright, our steps, the way we walk, God's got it in control. We just need to yield to Him. Amen.